Let's open God's word together. Each year as I work to put the Advent series together, it's always a challenge to fit all of the text into all of the Sundays in an appropriate way. So this year, I have unashamedly pulled together the little bits that otherwise out, with the purpose and intent of looking at one or two of the unsung heroes, the unsung songs. As we've picked out the soloists, we might arguably now be picking out the second violins. If you're orchestral in any way, I wonder if you can name the 10th second violin of any orchestra, because it's highly unlikely that that name is well known. Footballing metaphor might be, who's the third string goalie for your team? Only the real fan would ever know, because their name's so very rarely on the team sheet. Well, we're just going to read a few. We'll begin at Luke chapter 1 and verse 39 and pick up one or two of those who have a smaller part in Luke's record of these events. Luke 1 and verse 39. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." And in chapter 2 and in verse 4, one of the brief references to Joseph in Luke's account. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. And in verse 36 of that chapter, there was also a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So the unsung songs, the second violins, absolutely essential to any decent symphonic or orchestral performance, but far from the limelight, not the soloists, not the lead, not those who pick up the counterpoint, but those who put in the harmonies and underpin all of the story. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, is, I suspect, not known to the majority of the people who live in this country. Typical church attendance is in the single figures as a percentage, something like 5%. And I reckon on a pretty good Sunday you could go and ask and find a few people in church who don't know much about Elizabeth at all. So we're looking today at those who perhaps others would consider to be unsung. And then there's Hannah. Yes, I said Hannah. I know the text says Anna, but the fact is we've probably got her name wrong. That we haven't bothered to correct it. She's not that important. You see, the H in the Greek is just a breathing mark over the first letter. The text should be there. She's so unimportant. There's been no great debate over accuracy over her name. And if we were in any doubt that these lesser folks are here to show us that the behavior of the ordinary player is important, we have Mary. Mary has been made so very much about in certain circles. She has been elevated to sainthood. It is said she did not die but was assumed into heaven. It has been claimed you can pray to Christ through her, that she herself was free from sin from the moment she was conceived. She is given all sorts of titles that suggest all sorts of things, and yet here in the text, Luke deliberately portrays her as an ordinary girl, as a humble teenager, probably. The text very deliberately plays down her role and convinces us that we are looking at the simple faith and belief of anyone who accepts the call of God on their life. Verses 42 and 45 are the keys. Blessed are you among women is a Hebraism that does not single Mary out, but rather indicates that God is using her for a particular work at this time. Yes, she is receiving special favor from God. That's what the word blessing means. But so have other women. The phrase is also used of Jael in Judges 5. But I have yet to see a piece of her tent peg venerated and Saint Jael. We mistakenly venerate Mary. On this text, we should look to her as an example to us all of ordinary faith. Day-to-day living for the Lord Jesus. In verse 45, the Greek construction means, blessed is the one who. Yes, it is in the feminine form, but that's because it's Mary, and Mary is a woman. But it's not blessed are you, which we in English might misunderstand to say, blessed are you individually, Mary. The text says, blessed is anyone. Mary is the type, the example, one of many. Blessed is anyone who acts like you did, Mary, when the Lord speaks to them and follows in humble obedience. So our study today is of these ones who show us a pattern of ordinary life and faith. We see the ordinary life of service to God. We're going to look at their attitudes, their actions, their announcements, and we're going to see that it leads to further blessing. In effect, today, you might say we are going to observe the ordinary, and I hope be challenged that it should be our life too. Firstly, we see that in each case their attitude is humble. Listen to Elizabeth in verse 43. How could this happen to me? How could this happen to me? How come I'm singled out? How come I get this privilege, this blessing? Think of Joseph, not admittedly recorded in Luke's gospel, who could have divorced Mary and publicly. And look at Anna, not leaving the temple, which cannot mean she lived there, because there was no provision for her to live there. If she'd laid a mattress out and made her bed there, the temple authorities would have moved her on. Hopefully, they might have found her a proper home and somewhere safe. But you know, they would not have let her live with her cooking implements and her mattress in the temple. What it meant was that she put the demands for worship and prayer, the praise of God, and the lifting her hands up to him in need and raising the needs of her nation and her family and all those around her to him, she put those first. She was less. He was more. Do we have that humble attitude? Or is it all about me? Their attitude is humble. And second, we see their actions. And we see that their humility acts into faith. Faith in the word of God. These are model disciples. We read Mary set out and hurried. Joseph in 2 verse 4 went up. And Anna gives this lifetime of service, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. There is obedience seen in all these examples. It flows from their attitudes into their actions. I know that Mary was not told to go to Elizabeth, but the wisdom of it is obvious, and the purpose of the angel Gabriel mentioning her makes, I think, the trip inevitable. But Mary bows her will to the plan and purpose of God. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said. And then humbly she makes the best decisions that she can. Likewise, Joseph, humbly obedient, in his case, to the government of the day. not railing against it. The text emphasizes his going with two words of departure, as well as the more popular and more obvious two words to link him to King David. His obedience is highlighted, as well as his links. I don't know about you. I, for one, am fed up of hearing negatively about government and leadership and these things. We hear it from all sides. This is not a political statement. Quite frankly, I wouldn't want their job for the world. I think I've said that to some of you privately. I say it now publicly. I would not want to be responsible for a country, let alone in a time of pandemic. But we don't like to submit, do we? We find it easy to moan and rail, and I probably put my hand up and say, I've done the same. What are they doing? Can they not see what I can see? Well, Anna shows us the ultimate level of humble obedience. Let's not split hairs over the 84. It matters not one little bit whether she was 84 or 105, which is probably the other option, whether her service then was 84 years or 63. She served the Lord her whole life. That's humble obedience. In quiet, simple, obscure obedience. Prayer and fasting. This is not some public display. This is her private prayer and her fasting. This is deep. This is heartfelt. This is simple. This is what you and I should be about. The ordinary disciple is one who has the attitude of humble obedience to the word. That word might be specific, as it was to Elizabeth and to Mary and Joseph. It might be general, as I think it probably was to Anna. She is doing that which she should do as a humble servant, a humble member of God's people. But they acted on it. Their faith in the promise and the revealed word leads to action, and beyond action, to their announcements. They speak blessing. In this, we're going to have to assume that Joseph spoke private words of blessing to Mary. They're not recorded for us, and I think that's nice, because they shouldn't be. We'll let Elizabeth and Anna serve as our examples. They show us that we should speak blessing. We have some private words from Elizabeth to Mary, really. Elizabeth asks God to show special favor to Mary, to show special favor to Jesus, and then to all who believe. And Anna seeks to bless all those who were in her circle, looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem, we read. She began to thank God and to speak about him. To be blessed means to receive special favor from God. To speak blessing is to speak in such a way that God will bless those you're speaking to. It's a prayer. It's a request. It's a desire for this one or that situation, that God would be pleased to look on them and work out his glory and his good for them. The Old Testament would say to turn his face towards them and give them peace. Elizabeth then begins by recognizing that God is already blessing Mary. And she says so publicly. She acknowledges it. Now that's something we should do more, isn't it? When we see God at work, acknowledge that he is blessing and say so. When we see his special favor fall on one or another, we should acknowledge it. It will prompt us to pray for more. Then the easy extension to that, once you see God blessing, once Elizabeth recalls that God is blessing Mary, and may that blessing also come on your child. Well, what else would you say to a pregnant woman? That's the absolute normal, ordinary thing. God is already blessing you. May he bless your child as well. Except this time it's also such a wonderful thing, because it's recognizing Jesus' special status and uniqueness as well. She adds the prayer that he would be blessed. And her third blessing is so much more general, as we've already seen. Blessed is anyone who believes as you have believed, Mary. And my friends, do we not ought to follow that pattern? See God at work. Make the obvious and the general case of prayer that God would bless. Mary had the attitude and the action that follows the call of Christ on her life. And Elizabeth calls that belief and prays that others would believe as Mary has done. It's interesting, isn't it? I think there's a certain amount of a definition of belief here in what Luke is saying to us. What does it mean to believe? It means to hear the call of God on your life, to have a humble attitude towards it, faithful action because of it, and make blessed announcements to others. Anna speaks blessing too. Praise God, his Redeemer is come. That's the sort of thing she would have said. Praise God for the baby Jesus. And that's the Christmas message, isn't it? Isn't that what we should be doing this week? As we speak to one and another, can we set our hearts and our minds to speak blessing? I sometimes struggle to speak help here. It's help for me. If, as you hear it, it works for you too, then I'm pleased. But when I'm struggling to speak blessing, I think I need to check my attitude is truly humble. And then check that my actions are truly faithful. And I think speaking blessing will follow far more easily after that. These three are the ordinary life of the servant of God, witnessed in these little bits that would otherwise perhaps have not gone so noticed. Attitude, action, and announcement that are our parts, if you like, of our belief, our response to the call of Christ in our lives. Let me end by reminding us that there is a reward. I think it does follow. We see each time blessing follows the actions, the ordinary actions of God's people as they have the attitude and the action and the announcement based on what he has done and called in their lives. The end result is further blessing. He speaks again. He blesses again. He calls to further service. Elizabeth is certain about that in her speech. Mary and Joseph and Anna are examples of that in their lives. I was looking for a fourth A. Do you acquire blessing? Are we awarded blessing? I don't like either of those words, so we're going to move on from A to B and just say blessed. As a result of that ordinary, faithful life of belief, God blesses. And that's my prayer. After belief comes blessing, the special favor of our God poured out on us. Of course, to be called in the first place is to be blessed. It is a blessing to hear that call of Christ on our life. But friends, we need to respond and hear it again. Hear the blessing again. An ever-increasing virtuous circle rising up as we hear him, as we are blessed by him, as we act for him and know his blessing again. We need to go on in faith and belief and feel his blessing. Let me pray and then we'll sing. Father, would you bless us, please, today? In the ordinary service of you, you have called us. Your word has spoken and we have read the word which has been read for many years. God, the Holy Spirit has spoken individually into our hearts, and some of us have heard a personal call, a particular call to a ministry, to a service, to a place, to a person. Lord, would you build in us the attitude and actions and announcements that are the right and ordinary, normal and proper response of belief of one you have called and chosen. And would you bless us? Would you turn your face towards us and give us peace? Would you pour your special favor on us that we might proclaim your blessing and further climb that virtuous circle until such time as you give us the ultimate blessing and take us to be with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Amen.